Hello, teachers. Ben Jennings here, and we're starting a new series. We're going to have a summer in the Psalms. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I hope it'll be encouraging to you. Last summer, in the church service, in the 10:30 service, we did the same kind of a thing at our church, and so I spent last summer in the Psalms as well, and it is so encouraging. The Psalms are God's songbook for the Jewish people. It's an amazing book of the Bible. It's an amazing songbook to go through, and the theology is rich. It's helpful at times, reading sometimes, like in today's text, like wisdom literature. It is a laudatory to God. Sometimes there's high praise and like just glory to God, and here comes the king and he's reigning on his throne. Sometimes it's really intensely personal, almost like reading someone counsel themselves to hope in God and to put their trust in God, or asking sincere questions of God. So anyway, there's a variety of literature, a variety of not a variety of literature. It's all song, but there's a variety of topics, and I think it'll be really, really encouraging to you as you go through it. Today we're in Psalm chapter. I just messed up. We're in Psalm 1. They're not chapters, they're individual songs. So this is Psalm 1, and it deals with God's wisdom. It deals with helping someone to choose one of two ways. In this, we see the way of the godly. We see the way of the person that's godly, what happens to them, what their outcome is. We also see the ungodly and what their outcome is and how God relates to them. So the real issue is, are you going to do things God's way and with God's wisdom, or are you going to do things your way and your wisdom, and what's the outcome? So the central theme is God's wisdom. Every person should apply God's wisdom for three reasons, and we're going to see these right here in the text. It's a pretty straightforward but beautiful psalm. One of the things I always find myself wanting to know is, what would, if David was the one to sing the psalm, this is a psalm that would have been at least known in David's time, what would have that sounded like? That's an interesting idea. The good news is, because we don't have the music for it, that people throughout church history have taken some of these lyrics and put them to new melodies, and that way they've been relevant culturally at different times in different ways in different places. So pretty cool. This, everyone should apply God's wisdom for three reasons. Here's the first reason. If you apply God's wisdom, if you keep God's law, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. If you, verse 1 and 2, it says this: blessed is the man. You see where we got it from, right? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. There's a progression here in verses 1 and 2, especially in verse 1. You see three postures. There's this man, he's blessed. Some people will say happy. That certainly works. But the idea is that you have these three postures. You have walking, you have standing, and then you have sitting. Walking in this counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners, sitting in the seat of the scornful. So you have three different postures. You also have three different fruits of the ungodly. You have his counsel. This is someone, when you're walking by somebody, like there's an increasing amount of time, right? You're walking by somebody, seeing the way that they advise you to live, the counsel of the ungodly. Then you have standing. You're not walking by them. Now you're spending more time with them, standing in the way of sinners. These are people who are actively doing wrong. Then you have sitting in the seat of the scornful. From going from a sinner to scornful is someone who does wrong versus someone who, a scornful person, mocks people for doing right. So you have a progression of intensity of sin, and you have a progression in the amount of influence that one somebody allows. And so he says, essentially, the blessed man, the happy man, does not continue to increase in influence with ungodly influences. He does not walk or stand or sit. He is not around ungodly, sinning, scornful people that hate the righteous. Instead of having that bad influence, it says this: his delight is in the law of the Lord, the wisdom of God, God's will, God's direction. It's in this law that he meditates day and night. The idea of meditating is ruminating. He's thinking about it. He's dwelling on it. It's not just a memorization. It's almost like an application and a... And by application, think about apply. Like if you apply the ointment to your hand, you're like putting it on your hand. It's going over. The idea of applying is like, how would I live this out? How should I think? How should I live? What does this mean for my relationships? What does this mean? The idea is that you're ruminating. You're taking that truth and you're looking at that truth or doing that truth in every arena of your life. When you do that, the tendency, he says here, is that you'll be blessed. Does not mean that everything in your life goes perfectly. What it does mean is that there are the consequences, the fruit, we're going to see that here in a second, of doing things right and not applying your heart and your life to those who would teach you to do things wrong. So the first reason why you should follow God's wisdom, you should apply God's wisdom in your life, is because you'll be blessed. There's blessing that comes when you do that. The second reason is that you'll be fruitful. Part of the blessing comes out of our own fruitfulness. You'll be fruitful. That's what he talks about here. And here it talks about the fruit of the godly, the blessed person, and then you have the fruit of the ungodly, the righteous person. He says here in verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. On my way to the church from my house, I go down a road that goes over a river. In fact, right now they're redoing the bridge over that river. So that's making it quite inconvenient for me. But I'm glad that I'd rather them fix it than for me to go into the river. Anyway, I've noticed, and I've thought this a bunch of times as I drive by that river, there's a lot of trees literally right on the riverbank. And Findlay is known, where I live, is known for flooding. That when there's a lot of rain, it's pretty flat. The water goes to this river, and the river can get a lot higher than it normally is. But the point is, the trees along the bank, there's literal fields, but right with no trees. And obviously we clear out trees for fields, but on the river there's literally a ton of trees, and those trees have an incredible source of sun. They've got an incredible source of water. From that water, they get minerals and all the things that they need. Trees grow by the river, but that's just a very common thing. Why? Because they have everything they need. And as a result of having everything, all the nutrients and all the things they need, all the water they need, there's fruit. If there is a sickness among those trees, it's because something's gone wrong. This usually not because they don't have enough water. There's a river there, right? He says literally, the blessed man, the one who delights in the law of the Lord, has everything they need to grow spiritually, to grow physically. And it says, and it brings forth fruit in his season. That means I love the in his season aspect of it. Like, we don't always bear fruit all the time, but there's a season of fruitfulness that comes. There's a maturity. As a tree gets older, there's less fruit when it's younger, but as it gets older, there's more and more fruit. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So you have this mighty tree, has enough of what it needs that produces fruit. Then you have verse 4, the ungodly are not so, or are not this way. They're not like a tree. What are they like? They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. You've got wheat, and the wheat has the grain, and then it has the chaff. The grain's the part you want. It's the part that you grind down into grain. What? Flour. Thank you, producer to the left. Okay, yes. You grind it into flour, and out of flour you make hot, fresh bread, right? Like, that's the part you want. the chaff is like the wrapper. It's the banana peel to the banana. It's the husk to the corn. It's the part you don't need. The chaff of the wheat they use to burn. There's no real use to it. They would do what they call threshing the wheat, where they would throw the wheat up in the air, you know, a lot of times with like a pitchfork or whatever, and the grain would separate from the chaff, the grain would fall, and the wind would drive away the chaff. That's what it says here. The ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. It takes a lot of wind to knock down a tree planted by the river of water. It doesn't take very much wind at all to drive the chaff away. And so there's a fruitfulness to the person who delights in God's law. There is a emptiness or a lack of fruit. There's no real value to someone who lives a life of ungodliness. So we should apply God's wisdom so we'll be fruitful. And number three, we should apply God's wisdom so that we'll be known. Now, that's an interesting thing. You can be known. What do you mean? Well, let's look at the verse. Therefore, it says, the ungodly, this is verse 5 and 6, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. There's this inability to stand. The wind drives away the chaff. The wind has a hard time knocking down the fruitful tree. The ungodly can't stand against the wind or of judgment, right? Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The righteous, it's like a forest of trees standing against the wind, but the chaff is falling down, right? The ungodly can't stand up to judgment, right? Verse 6, why? For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. God is acquainted with the ways of the righteous. God looks over the ways of the righteous. He shows mercy and grace to those who are righteous, meaning those who have been made righteous by him through his mercy. But the way of the ungodly shall perish, right? This isn't God knowing intellectually. God is omniscient. He knows everything, right? And it's not like if someone is ungodly that God doesn't know who they are. That's not the idea. The idea of knowing is this intimacy with, or this protection of. Is he has a relationship with them. He gives them his grace and his mercy. There's that relationship. And so we're known. I want God to know my ways. I want to be on God's page, and I want him to know me and to love me. And I know he loves everybody, but that's part of what it's dealing with there. So I really feel like this is a psalm that everybody needs to know and apply. I was introduced to it early in my life, and I think this would be a great psalm for your kids to memorize, for teenagers to memorize. There is a lot of temptation to walk in the way of the ungodly, to stand in the way of sinners, to sit in the seat of the scornful. That could literally look like being on YouTube, right? It could look like choosing the wrong channel. It could look like bringing up the wrong website rather than spending time around godly people. It could be going to the wrong parties, going in the wrong direction. Someone once said, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. That's not just true for teenagers. That's true for everybody. And so let's make sure we control our influences, that we avoid those who are ungodly, and that we would delight ourselves in the Word of God. And when we do, we're fruitful and we are putting ourselves, aligning ourselves with things that God blesses. And that's what I want. I know that's what you want too. I hope that helped you think through the text. Have a great day and enjoy the lesson on Sunday.